So, good morning. Now, what is the subject that we have been looking at, Molly?
The Bible's authority.
You've got it. The Bible's authority, or the authority of the Bible. You can take that one either way, and it's the same thing. So, the authority of the Bible, what does that mean? What kinds of things are we looking at with that? What does that mean, Stanley?
The Bible is above all.
The Bible is above all. So, rather than think we know best of all, we say, no, no, the Bible knows best of all. It knows. And where we differ from it, we say, we're wrong, it's right. We may not always understand at the time why the Bible's right and why we're wrong, but we submit to its authority. And the wonderful thing is that as we go on in the Christian life, we find, yes, it is right, and now I've discovered why it's right, and I can see it being worked out. And perhaps if we've got time, we'll come back to that thought in a moment. So we say, the Bible knows more than everything. It knows above anything we know or ever will know. And we sit under its authority and listen to the Bible, rather than say, Bible, you've got to listen to us, my opinion and my ideas. No, no. So, last time, we said that who has given us the Bible? Who's given it to us?
God.
And how did he give it to us? Molly.
Through prophets and people who told people about people.
We've got time, Molly. That's fine. Carry on. Absolutely that. You had it there. The Holy Spirit spoke through the prophets, spoke through those men of God, and some women of God as well, in the Bible, in the past, and those things God caused to be written down. But he spoke those things. And we were saying, well, the Bible has authority. One of the things, one of the lines of reasoning we use, the Bible has authority because God spoke it. Now, for those outside the church, they say, well, that doesn't cut any ice with us. But for us, it does. The Lord God, who made the heavens and the earth, the great King of all, he has spoken. And because he has spoken, and he has placed all his authority in the Bible, and if you remember, we said God points us to the Bible, and the Bible points us, where? To whom? Timothy?
To God.
To God. So, God is always saying, look at my word. And the word then is saying, and you worship God and you remember him. Because God has spoken these things, there are expectations we have about the Bible that help us to see its authority. For instance, does God lie? Does God lie? No, he doesn't, does he? He never lies. He always speaks. What's the opposite of lies? He tells us what? Grace? The truth, doesn't he? The truth, which is why the Bible we call the truth. And why the Lord Jesus Christ is the truth. Because he himself and everything he says and everything he does is true. You can rely upon him. You can rely upon God's word. Because God does not lie. Does God change his mind? No, he doesn't change his mind, does he? So what he says right at the beginning is true. And when we get sort of halfway through, say, during the time of the prophet Isaiah, for instance, we don't suddenly hear, wait a minute. You know what you read earlier? We're changing. That's not quite what he meant. No, that's exactly what he meant. Do we change our minds? Do we change our minds? Yes, we do, don't we? We change our minds. Sometimes we don't know the whole story. So we have to change our mind because here's some new evidence, some new facts that we have to sort of build in to what we're thinking. Sometimes we mistake things, don't we? We think we've understood something, but we haven't at all. And so sometimes we need to change our minds. And we're very wise to change our minds. It's called repentance. And that's a great gift of God to be able to change our minds on things. Say, oh, I can see it better now. I got that wrong. I was just ignorant. I just didn't know. Because God does not need to change his mind, because he knows all things. And he knows the end from when? The end from the, Molly, beginning. He knows the end from the beginning. So when he began to speak, he knew exactly what he's going to speak, for us anyway, at the end of the time of Revelation. The end of the time he's going to speak. So he's not sort of thinking, well, I don't know how this is all going to finish. I don't know how I'm going to end all of this. So I'll start here, and if I think, oh, I don't like that, I'll tear that bit up. And, you know, if you're doing an essay, you think, well, I don't think I like this. It start again, or you kind of delete bits of it. But he knows the end already from the beginning. And so everything he says at the beginning, right in the book of Genesis, through the early books of the Bible, is not going to be changed, because he knows exactly where he's taking what he's saying. He doesn't change his mind, because he knows all things. He doesn't lie, because he is a God of truth. So we can say yes. This helps us to see why, in a sense, because God has spoken it, the Bible has authority. Because he doesn't lie. He doesn't get things wrong. He doesn't have to change his mind. So, for instance, when we think about how the world began. 6 days, it says. Wait a minute. Can that really be true? Can that be true? He says he made the world in 6 days. Can that be true? What do we think? Yes. We're nodding. I hope we're nodding. Yes. It is true. We don't understand it all. But then when we think of how powerful God is, well, 6 days is nothing to him to make millions of worlds. So we can surely rely upon him. And when he says that in my Son, and only in my Son, is the way of salvation, can we believe that? Is that reliable? Is that trustworthy? Yes, it is. He doesn't lie. So he's not saying, well, actually, follow that religion there, that'll get you to heaven as well. No, he doesn't say that. He says, look to my Son. Only to my Son if you want to have salvation and forgiveness. So we're wise if we look to his Son and to nobody else. And of course, because he has spoken and he has kept his word very carefully for us. And while we haven't got the original languages, because that would be Hebrew for the Old Testament by and large, and a bit of Aramaic, and it would be Greek in the New Testament, and we don't have the actual originals that Paul wrote or that Peter wrote, we're very confident in the Bibles we're using today that this has been kept for us safely and preserved and has travelled forward. And as we read it there, we're able to say, yes, it's been translated. So sometimes that gets a little bit complicated in there and people dispute these things. But there we are. We're confident in what we have today. And we read it and we say, this is good. This is good. And as discoveries are sometimes made of old documents there, we find, well, look, this is exactly what we've got in the Old Testament, for instance, and Dead Sea Scrolls and these things you may have heard about. Look, this is it. It's saying this. Well, there's an odd word here, but that's just something there. That's an editorial piece there. It's all absolutely there. And that is amazing, because God is jealous for his word, and he keeps his word, and he preserves his word. And so here we are today with his word, and it's being published and sent all over the world. It's reliable and trustworthy. It is, we believe, without error. It is something we say we can rely upon in everything, because God has given it. God has spoken it. It has, therefore, an authority, because it is his word. Now, I said, didn't I? This is one of the great battles, and it always has been, the authority of God's word. People say, no, it doesn't say that. And they put their own ideas in there. Well, they say, no, we're not interpreting it right, you see. They get their own scheme by which to try to understand God's word. And they try to take away its authority. And people come in, and Sandy can tell us a bit about this later on, perhaps there, come into schools and come into places and say, oh, wait a minute, the Bible's an old book, and the people said those things 2,000 odd years ago. They didn't really know what they were saying, and times change and things move on, and we can just put that aside now and park it up there, and we're much wiser if we follow new philosophies and ideas that people have come up with since. No. Not wise at all. God intended the Bible to last us until one great event in the future. What is that great event? What is the great event? The Bible's going to be all that we need, sufficient for all our needs, until one great event. What is that, Molly?
When Jesus comes again.
And then, everything the Bible promises about what heaven is going to be about, that will all come true wonderfully, and all the help it gives to us against sin. Well, there's not going to be any sin in heaven. That's wonderful. That's a wonderful thought. No sickness, no suffering, new bodies. Wonderful. So all of it's helped to us here. It then hands us on to the wonderful things of heaven. But until he comes again, the Bible is all that we need. And when God spoke right there in the book of Genesis through Moses, when he spoke right at the end in the book of Revelation through the Apostle John, he said, that is all you need. Travel forward with that. Read it, follow it, obey it, believe it. And don't believe the people who say, no, that just was for then, something new for today. The Lord knew exactly what he was doing, and that that would serve us in all its details as well as in the grander, broader doctrines that we receive, the details as well, all of that is going to be so valuable for you. Because you see, God anticipated the battles that we'd need to fight. And he has placed within his word at different places, different verses, or different examples and different principles that we take with us now. And we use them today. And we think, isn't this amazing? He knew that today, the year 2012, we'd have to be fighting a battle on marriage, for instance. And he knew the things that would come against the church, and he's provided us all along the way with help and instruction and teaching. Because he knew what we would face today. So, I wouldn't swap believing in God's word, given to us by God who made the heavens and the earth, to change my mind because some, I don't know, 73-year-old actor from Lancashire tells us to change our minds or not, or anybody else with any funny ideas from wherever they've got them. I think I'm going to rely on what the eternal God who made the heavens and the earth has said, because I think he knows better than anybody else. So, let's sing a hymn to his glory. 113, to God be the glory, great things he has done.